What's up, folks? This is Tony Brewer. You're listening to, or watching as the case may be, Cogitations. Cogitations is the podcast where we think about things, we contemplate them, we turn them over in our minds, and then we discuss them. Daniel chapter 7, verse 28, Daniel writes, "Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, my countenance changed in me. But I kept the matter in my heart, and we're not going to keep the matter in our heart. We're going to talk about it. Today, we're going to talk about the power of preaching. From where does preaching get its power?" Now, there's an obvious overarching answer. Preaching gets its power from the truth, and all truth is God's truth. So there's a sense in which this would be a very short podcast. But we're going to talk a little bit more specific today, and I'm not making a pun. Preaching gets its power from specificity, and we're going to draw that thought out for the podcast. As we get into the meat of our podcast, I want to let you know about LaBeth Brewer at www.beamindfulsoul.com. You know that often people need a listening ear and some support as they work through the varied situations of life. Sometimes those situations are so complex and overwhelming that we need some extra support. This is why LaBeth started Be a Mindful Soul. At beamindfulsoul.com, LaBeth's mission is to offer anything from simply a listening ear and the advice of an older sister to helping you find the professional help that you need from a certified professional in your area. Be sure to go to www.beamindfulsoul.com and check out all of the services that she has to offer. She can help answer your questions about therapy treatment or other mental health services that you may need. She also provides affordable assistance and support with resolving relationship conflicts, gaining and implementing more effective parenting skills, and can help coach you through the steps you need to take in regards to finding the peace and stability that you deserve. Be sure and go to www.beamindfulsoul.com and avail yourself of all the services that LaBeth has to offer. Now I'm going to go open up this comment section. Oh man, there's so many comments that I've missed. Good day. Hello, John Exum. And we have Facebook user, good morning, good morning. And Romans 1:16, the power of God unto salvation is the gospel. Let me check out here. Wow, that blows my mind. 7 people in the live stream on Christianity Now. Be sure and be our algorithm. Share, subscribe. You've already commented. Thank you so much for that. And as I said so many times, we punch way above our weight class because of you, our listening audience, and how y'all interact and engage with the content. Now, I will say this. I'm wonderful news about the young woman from yesterday. I have to message her still, but she's interested in doing some deeper study of God's word. And I'm going to try to see if I can't get her a copy of Paul Sane's book, Someone Died and Left You a Fortune. And then hopefully I can sit down with her through Zoom and we can go through those lessons. But other than that, that's great. I've just got to send her a private message. And I hope she tunes in today. Now let's talk about the power of preaching. This is one of those articles that I reworked. Let me tell you what I'm trying to do with my Substack. In fact, you know what? I need to share the article link is in the show notes. Okay. But I'm going to share it now in the comment section for you to hold on just a second. Man, it's like I can't do two things at once. All right. I'm going to share the article in the comment section for you to click on. Please subscribe to the Substack. Let me tell you what I'm trying to do with the Substack. Incidentally, Aaron Dotson published his first article for the Christianity Now Substack. This is not my Substack. This is Christianity Now's Substack. What I try to do with this Substack is I try not to be so, quote-unquote, Church of Christ. I try to keep it very light, somewhat almost surface, where anybody of any faith background can read this and assimilate the information, and it whets their appetite for deeper study. So if you could share this as much as you can, I'm not trying to, and nor is Aaron, we are not trying to break into a lectureship circuit for the Brotherhood or anything like that. We're not trying to get published in Brotherhood papers. That's not what these blogs are for. They're blogs. They're bite-sized. They're highly digestible. They use modern language. I try very hard not to use academic language. I try to speak like the individual that I would meet out, the person that I meet at the gas pump while I'm pumping my gas. I want these articles to sound like a conversation we would have together. So this article is an article that I actually wrote a few years ago entitled, "Can a Fat Man Preach Against Sin?" And let me tell you why I wrote it. Because I preached Sunday morning, by the way, because there was, we always had on Sunday evenings, 15 or 20, sometimes as much as 30 members just not show back up on Sunday evening and Wednesday evening. So I preached about church attendance and I hammered it pretty hard. I ain't gonna lie to you. And this old woman, after it was over, she said, "Well, preacher, you hit folks that don't come back in the evening pretty hard today." I said, "Yes, ma'am. I think it needs it." Now, keep in mind, this woman is one that comes back. I don't understand what her deal was. But she said, "Well, I noticed you didn't say anything about gluttony." She has never in her life been spoken to this way. I just looked at her. I said, "Are you saying that I can't preach about sin because I'm fat?" And she just had this deer in the headlight look. And so I wrote an article for the Bulletin. And the next Sunday, I preached a sermon entitled, "Can a Fat Man Preach Against Sin?" The premise is, can someone who is less than perfect, who struggles with sin, can he preach against sin? Well, the resounding answer is yes. Obviously. Hello, Mike Austinus. Yeah, be a Jew to the Jews, be a Greek to the Greek. You got that right. Yeah, it's almost as if I learned that somewhere. Anyway, that's all I'm saying. So I will admit that the article that I wrote entitled, "Can a Fat Man Preach Against Sin?" It probably was a little inflammatory, but it needed to be. These people needed a fire lit under their behinds. But this one, not as much, but I think it's broader. All right. So the title of the article is "The Power of Specific Preaching. Can a less than perfect person effectively preach against sin?" So I'm just going to read the article. And as I'm reading it, feel free to comment, all that good stuff. And after I'm done reading the article, I'll look at your comments and we can talk about it. In the world of preaching, it's not uncommon for individuals to appreciate sermons that address sin, but shy away from specificity. However, today we aim to challenge this mindset and explore the importance of specific, direct preaching against sin. Some may wonder, can a person who struggles with sin effectively preach against it? Let's delve into this question and unravel the truth. And incidentally, good morning, everybody. Yeah, the self-proclaimed chief of sinners did it. And Holly H., good to see you. All right, so here, the importance of specific preaching. As believers, we must understand that reproving, rebuking, and exhorting are vital components of preaching. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. All right? So generalizing and glossing over the issue of sin not only fails to address the problem, but also plays right into the hands of the enemy. The Bible teaches that God's chosen method to bring humanity closer to Him is through preaching. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. "But it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Go read that context. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? "Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of man?" It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Folks, for preaching to be truly effective, it must reprove individuals of their sins. James 1, 24 through 25 reminds us of the importance of looking into that perfect law of liberty and recognizing our flaws. Specific preaching helps us to do just that. Holding a mirror to our lives, prompting us to make necessary corrections. So let's talk about the imperfect messenger. A common question that arises is whether someone who commits sins themselves can effectively preach against sin. Well, the answer is a resounding yes. Consider figures like the Apostle Paul, Peter, and Apollos. Did they not have their own moments of sin and imperfection? They did. Yet their messages were powerful and transformative. It's crucial to recognize that the effectiveness of preaching isn't diminished by the preacher's own struggles. The purpose of preaching, this is the goal of preaching. The purpose of preaching is not to comfort the comfortable, but to both comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. I'm going to read that again. The purpose of preaching is not to comfort the comfortable, but to both comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. True biblical preaching challenges us to examine our lives and make necessary changes. If we are merely Sunday-only Christians seeking solace without transformation, we miss the true essence of preaching. So let's talk about church discipline. Sometimes specific and direct preaching may run some people off. While this may seem undesirable, it's important to understand that some individuals need to be confronted with their shortcomings. The trying of one's faith, as mentioned in James and 1 Peter, is likened to refining gold in a smelter's fire. The impurities are burned away, leaving something more valuable behind. In a similar way, the church as a whole benefits from this process, growing stronger and more faithful. Here's the conclusion of the article. We must recognize the authority and importance of direct, specific preaching against sin. It's not about the messenger's perfection, but about the conviction that leads to the change. We should be humble enough to accept correction and chastisement from the Lord, as His grace teaches us to transform our lives. So, the next time you hear a preacher addressing sin directly, or, might I add, you see a Facebook post, a meme, or something else, remember that it's an opportunity for personal growth and spiritual growth. As we engage with preaching, or again, might I add, as we engage with content that's based on God's Word, let us do so with open hearts, and open minds, always preparing to receive and embrace the message of God's Word, regardless of the messenger. Instead of using the preacher's imperfection as an excuse to dismiss their message. That is a fragmented sentence. I got to go correct that. Oops. So, that's pretty simple. Can we not see, can we not understand that the man that gets up and preaches, the woman that does a ladies' day, the man or woman that teaches a Bible class, they're not perfect people. They have their struggles. You're going to find weaknesses in them, but the message is not weak. I love this passage of Scripture in Philippians. I'm going to go there, Philippians chapter 1. Paul is in prison, and he's talking about there are two different kinds of people, two different factions of people preaching the gospel. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Yeah, here we go. Verse 14 of chapter 1. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Now, some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add afflictions to my bonds. I can barely see. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therefore rejoice, yea, and I will rejoice. So even when people are preaching who have nefarious motives, who are trying to cause other people harm, if they are preaching the truth, the power of the message overpowers their nefarious intent. And Paul in prison said, those people that are preaching again, or preaching, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, supposing to do me harm, disingenuously, I rejoice because they're still out there preaching. You know, we have factions in the Lord's church. Some of them are so very vitriolic and terrible. But on a local level, they're converting people to Christ. So what do? Well, I leave them alone and let them do what they do. And they'll stand or fall before God. Sometimes the repentant sinner can be more effective at preaching the message, much like a former addict makes a more effective recovery counselor. Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. And there's nothing wrong with it. In fact, I don't know that I'd say this is a hard and fast rule, but the worse and the more degenerate the individual outside of Christ, the more grateful and the more bought in and the more serious about the work they are inside of Christ. Now, that principle plays out in Scripture because Jesus himself uses the parable of, well, if somebody is forgiven one day's wage and somebody else is forgiven, we'll say, 1,000 days' wages, who is more grateful? Well, the one who was forgiven more. Exactly. This is something we need to learn. Now, that doesn't mean that we should go sow our wild oaks. It would take a long time to sow wild oaks. Anyway, I'm not saying that we should go sow our wild oats in order to get some experience so we can know what sin is. I don't have to be an alcoholic to preach a lesson about the sin of drinking and giving yourself over to that lust. I don't have to be somebody who fornicated in order to preach a lesson about sexual purity. I don't have to be someone who had an affair and cheated on his wife in order to preach about remaining faithful to the bride of your youth. But that being said, you make a fair point that sometimes those people who are less than perfect, they come off as more genuine. And I think the problem is not the person, but the hearers. What is your attitude? Whenever you're faced with the truth of God's word, how do you deal with it? How do you navigate that interaction? Do you look into that perfect law of liberty, desiring to see how you need to change? Or do you look to that perfect law of liberty and expect to be validated in everything that you're doing? The answer to that question will let you know how you respond to good gospel preaching. They had to have a greater appreciation. They tend to have a greater appreciation for their salvation. Absolutely. I agree 100% with that. Now, a meme that I saw years and years ago, I sound like it's 20 or 30, a meme I saw a few years ago, 5 or 6, was something to the effect of, it's one of the worst things that a gospel preacher can do to come to the pulpit and preach week after week, lesson after lesson. And you can preach about sin, you can preach true doctrine, you can preach soundness, but you can preach it in such a way that it never convicts anyone. And what you are doing is you are allowing people to be delusional, to put a smile on their face as they walk down that road towards hell. I would not want to be the gospel preacher in that situation. I want to be specific with my preaching. I want to make sure people understand, hey, listen, here's the message. Now, I will give a caveat. And this is because this is from a comment that's on Substack. A very interesting thing to do. How do you know how general or specific that you need to be from the pulpit? Well, there's a very easy way to answer this. Preach from the text. If you only preach what's in the text, you are going to be as general or specific as God wants you to be if you only preach what's in the text. Now, if you are told, let's say your eldership comes to you as a gospel preacher and says, listen, I really hate that we have to do this, but we need to have a sermon on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Go to the text. I would preach the first, around 20 verses of Matthew chapter 19. I don't think it's 20. It's maybe the first 11 verses of Matthew 19. Nope, the first, no, it's there. The first 12 verses of Matthew chapter 19, I would preach. And if you preach the first 12 verses of Matthew chapter 19, and you exegete that passage of scripture, you are going to be as general and as general or specific as you need to be, because you're going to cover it exactly the way God covered it. One of those things as a preacher, we learn, listen, there are some passages of scriptures in the Bible nobody really needs help understanding. They need help obeying. And that's really one of them. So your eldership comes to you and says, look, I need you to preach a lesson on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Go find the text where Jesus talked about it. And if you only preach the text, you're going to be as specific as you need to be. And that's good. And sometimes you need to pack a U-Haul if you have a sermon that's as specific as Jesus needs to be with it. Anyway, that's all I've got for you today. Remember, whenever you hear a gospel sermon and that preacher gets very specific, don't throw what about at him. In other words, if the gospel preacher is preaching about marriage, divorce, and remarriage, don't come up to him after the sermon and say, well, you didn't say a word about all these people that ain't married. It's out having sex with everybody. Well, yeah, that's not the topic of the conversation. I'll give you a good example. I'm going to go back on my timeline on Facebook. And there's an interesting exchange here that just really blew my mind. And it was an article about baptism being necessary for salvation. It's a far piece back. I'm going to have to go right there. Yeah, so baptism is necessary to salvation. It's a Substack article. It's very short. It's very surface. It says, in my opinion, just enough, but not too much. And this fella commented and said, it would be more helpful to show people how God uses baptism in the salvific process. What God has done in Christ by the Spirit to justify and sanctify. And of course, I responded. I said, what's your point here? He said, you are defending baptism and not God's work in baptism. How would you define God's power and deliverance through baptism? Why baptism and not something else? I said, because that's not what I wanted to write about. You go write an article and you make it about whatever you want it to be about. And he said, I think I will. Thanks. I'm like, what in the world? Were you reared by wolves? In what world is that exchange normal? In what world if I write an article about the necessity of baptism for salvation, do you think that I need to include all of that other stuff that is pertinent that you need to know, but that doesn't have anything to do with the article? It's like if I was assigned to preach on a certain topic and I was assigned to preach on the, I was assigned to preach on the topic of the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I didn't cover water baptism and the need for water baptism. Would you come up to me after the sermon and be like, well, I see that you covered the gift of the Holy Spirit. You did a good job, but you didn't say anything about the necessity of baptism. Well, that's not my assigned topic. The lecturer that was speaking after me, that was his assigned topic, and I didn't want to step on his material. So that's the idea. We need to understand that we need to be specific. And whenever you get specific, you start making people mad. But it's because of their attitude and their shortcomings. All right. That's all I've got. I hope I've said something today that has inspired you to go out there and dig deeper into God's word. I hope I've said something that's encouraged you and edified you. If you like what we do and you want to monetarily support us, there are ways to do it through Buy Me a Coffee or Patreon. And today I'm going to record a video that is exclusively for our supporters. And you can become a supporter and have access to that by doing a one-time $5 donation or by doing as little as a dollar a month on Patreon. In the show notes on my podcast on Podbean, you will be able to find the links. I don't put the links on Facebook. I don't want to appear as if I'm always holding my hand out begging for money. But Aaron and I are trying to grow this into something that can support us. Quite frankly, it can support us in our retirement. But that's all we've got. Remember, www.patreon.com, www.buymeacoffee.com/Christianity Now, and you can support us monetarily, and you can have access to all the behind the paywall stuff that we do. Right now, it's just one piece of content a week. Subscribe to the Substack. The link is in the link is in the show notes, and the link is also in the comment section. And share those Substacks around. Remember, if you cannot monetarily support us and you really want to do something big to help, just be a fan of the show. Be a fan of the content. Like, subscribe, share. Invite your friends. And it would really be great for every one of you here to subscribe on YouTube, Christianity Now Streams. If I would love to get that YouTube channel monetized where not you all, but YouTube pays us for views. So that would be great. Anyway, remember, fall in love with God's word and appreciate preachers and the specificity of preaching. This has been Tony Brewer with Cogitations. God bless you. Thank you so much. And we'll catch you on the flip side.